Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor.
This is episode 76 of Art Talk, and today I have a very special guest for a conversation, our artist James Early. This summer, I met James at the Other Art Fair, and I was stunned by his borders, and especially because of his topic. James started in 2015 with his powerful and emotional studies of homeless people, victims of war, and religious martyrs. This work took him to another level in the art world, and he was nominated by the British Portrait Award.
That's right.
The Royal Institute of Oil Painters and the Royal Institute of Portrait Painters, culminating in his work being displayed in the iconic famous Mall Galleries in the heart of London. A great gallery, by the way. James was selected in 2019 to show his work at the prestigious London Biennale. And James has been described by the German Kunst Heute publication, as well as the international contemporary art curators, as one of the most significant artists in the world today. He says that he paints the invisible visible. Welcome, James. And thank you for being my guest today.
Well, it's good to speak.
I'm honoured.
It's my honour, really. I'm really honoured to be with you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. So you write that you always wanted to paint a homeless person without really knowing why. That some answers can't be answered, yet your work is internationally highly acclaimed. So what are your thoughts about homelessness and how it only seems to get worse?
If I've often been asked this question, and I always say, if an alien came down to the world today and that alien saw a homeless person sat on the streets, and then a few blocks away saw a beautiful house owned by a billionaire who's got so much money, they haven't even got the time in the world to actually spend it. They would probably think that something is not right. You know, they would think that this world's it's not a great place. You know, according to Oxfam, the richest 1% bag nearly twice as much wealth as the rest of the world put together in the last 2 years, which is incredible. So this, in my eyes, what I've seen traveling the world is it's the system, the economic system, which, as you know, is capitalism, which demands aggression, demands greed, and actually encourages it, has caused this massive explosion of homeless people. The pace of life that I see, which is so fast now, I think it also has caused a huge mental health issue in the world today. People just can't live in the moment anymore. You know, they're demanded to be moving all the time. And I see so many homeless people on the streets that are homeless because of mental health issues.
Yep.
So I feel the only way that this is actually going to improve, the situation is going to get better, is if there's a new system in place, a new economic system in place that actually values human life and empathy and love rather than profit. And gives a fundamental human right, people that should be homed. Everyone has a house. Everyone deserves a house. Yeah. And that should be a fundamental human right. So that's how I see homelessness at the moment.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I see it getting worse everywhere I go.
Yeah. I've seen it too.
Places.
Yeah. Because when I was in London, I saw them. Intense in the bush.
Yeah.
And that is devastating. I mean, children. and you're right. I agree totally with you. There are just a few people who understand the money game, the financial game. They own the banks, because banks are not a utility for all of us. They are a private business. Even a central bank is not a central bank. It's a private business.
Yeah.
And they know how to invest and they know the money game, the game that nobody learns in school.
Yeah.
So the majority is running the rat race. And I noticed that energy is going up in January, exactly at the moment where people need the heat. But in the summer, it goes down because the companies can't earn on it. And I have like, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And seeing people on the street is awful. And I have to say that I have done my utmost to buy buying some extra food and just give it.
Mm.
The little things you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it the sad thing is, I went to New York recently, and I learned that the average age of a homeless person in New York is 7 years old.
Yeah, so
that is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the richest, New York, the richest city in the richest country in the history of the world.
Yeah. Is London.
Right.
Yeah, and you paint them, and I've seen that. Amazing. Those people, their self-esteem must go up so much when you show them the painting. Because nobody thinks that they are worthy enough to be seen, let alone be painted, right?
Yeah, yeah. I see it's difficult, really, because I value everyone, and everyone deserves a portrait. Everyone mm-hmm. does. And there is this image of homeless people as they feel shame. I don't sense that. So when I see a homeless person, I see someone who has got problems, but they're fighting, you know, they're living in a tough environment, but they're still fighting. And I admire that. So yeah. The pride is all mine when I show
mm-hmm.
a portrait to one of my sitters who are homeless. You know, it's my honor, my privilege. Yeah. And they deserve that more than anyone, really, because of their hope, their resilience, their fight, and yet most of the time, their empathy as well. You know, I've for example, there's so many stories I can give you when I do a commission, when I actually paint a homeless person. And I'll say to them at the end of the painting, when it's being sold, I say, well, I'll give you the funds. You know, I can give you the funds, or let me know how I can do that. And most of the time they say to me, I don't want it. Just give it to a charity. And incredible. In fact, if you go to my website, there's a guy called Dave who I painted, a homeless guy. And
I've seen him.
It was covered by the BBC, the story mm-hmm. of me painting Dave. And he was another guy who didn't want any money. He just wanted all the proceeds of that commission or that painting to go to a charity, which to me is amazing.
Yeah, because the charity can do so much more for more people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then you can ask yourself, where is the sociality within people?
Yeah. Yeah,
clearly. And all the awards you won, the international exhibitions in the most famous museums and galleries, I mean, your work must have touched so many people. Do you deeply believe within that you bring that much needed awareness enough that one time things will change?
It's a tough question, but I have to do it. You know, I have to paint. I have to bring awareness to all these issues. You know, if I don't do something, if I don't, for example, as well as painting, I try to go on, for example, the situation in Gaza at the moment. So I go on the marches there. If I don't go on a march, if I don't write to my MP, if I don't partake in the BDS movement, then I'm complicit. So if we don't do these things, then we are silently being complicit.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. So I look at the situation in South Africa, the apartheid in South Africa. Okay, now two countries backed that apartheid regime up, and that was the US and the UK, and they did that right until the very end. And there were two things that stopped that backing, and one was movement of the people. The people got to the streets. There was a huge movement against the apartheid regime. Another thing which is less well known is the role Cuba took. Mm-hmm. They sent an army over to Angola to fight the South African army. So it was an army that was full of black soldiers sent from Cuba. And they beat this white South African army, and it gave a lot of hope to the people of South Africa.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that mass movements, eventually the governments will listen to. So just as the apartheid regime in South Africa collapsed, hopefully the same thing will happen in Israel, and the people of Palestine will be free. So all I can do in my role is to make people aware of the situation. That's all I can do. If I don't do it, then I'm complicit. So I'm hoping it will. Yeah. I'm hoping things will actually give up.
I saw you had a few images of your work on Instagram. Well, you have a lot of your images on Instagram. But you wrote, "My homeless friend in London." But how do you approach someone? Aren't most of them feeling a form of shame? You just said no. But how do they feel to tell you their story? Because, I mean, you do not get just homeless. There is a reason behind it. How open can they be? Do they trust you enough to do that? Because you need the stories, right?
Yeah. A lot of my friends ended up on the streets homeless, and these are people from really good backgrounds. You know, these are people you wouldn't associate with being homeless. They had great parents, they had money, but they ended up on the streets for one reason or another, a lot of it through drugs. And they had one where they were trying to get over, and they helped themselves by taking drugs really to get away from that trauma. When I see someone on the streets, I don't see them as a homeless person. I just see them as a friend, you know. Even if I don't know them. There was a survey done in the US. I don't know if you know this survey. And it was a big survey amongst homeless people. And they asked three questions as a homeless person. If you offered three things, one would be money. Second one would be alcohol. The third one would be conversation. And which one of those three options would you take if you're a homeless person? And I think it was something like 90% of the homeless people in the US who took this survey said all they wanted was a conversation. They wanted to be treated as a normal human being. They don't want to be invisible anymore. You know, they're on the streets, they're fighting for their lives, but they're still part of the human race. They still deserve respect, and they still deserve to have a conversation with. And that's what I do. So I talk to homeless people. I don't see them as having any shame or anything like that. I don't see that. Mm-hmm. I see them as people that I admire.
Yeah. And they must feel that. They must feel that. Because I think... and I've noticed that. I mean, you know, Liverpool Street Station, and I walked there, and so incredibly busy. And this older elderly woman was walking there. She only had a little plastic bag, and she clamped to my arm, "Do you have some money for me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I have to go to the to pin it to get it out of the ATM." And so I did, and I actually thought I give her tenner, then I have a tenner for myself. I have something in my pocket. But then I ended up with a whole 20 pounds. I had like, you know, there's more where this comes from. And I gave her the whole 20. I've never seen someone so happy and so grateful for what I did. Because now she could take a shower. And I had like, you know, when you just think that could have been me.
Yeah.
Your whole perspective starts to change because it doesn't matter what background you have. You can come into a situation and be there. So, yeah. But also see that a lot of people go around them, don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that's what I so admire in your work. And what admired me in that one David.
Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes, the way you painted his eyes. And I think in all the portraits I saw, it were the eyes that speak most to me. Because, yeah, I always say the eyes are the windows of our soul.
Yeah.
Do you emphasize on that?
Yeah. To me, the eyes are the heartbeat of the painting. Really, the eyes. I want the eyes to scream. I want the eyes to shout. I want them to drag you in. And I can only paint someone's eyes if I know their story. You know, if I don't know their story, the eyes tend to be flat. So the eyes are full of emotion, and hopefully their story, their emotions, their fear, their anger, their love, it all comes out in their eyes on the canvas. That's what I aim to do.
But I have to tell you, what I noticed in the eyes is not anger. It's not fear.
No.
It is still, I don't like the word resilience, but it is there.
Yeah.
But what I see is strength. And I see a type of love coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be either because they have that conversation with you and they feel that love, or it is... But that's what I see.